It's considered the most powerful position in the world. But some may ask, is America's president the commander in control or just a rotating leader under cemented influence? This book, Family of Secrets, attempts to answer those questions by taking a deep look into the Bush family dynasty. Author Russ Baker sat down with RT to explain why he believes the presidential family of the past is extremely relevant today.
This was 5 years of research, from what I understand, that went into this book. You began with the interest of digging deeper into George W. Bush. What did you uncover?
Well, what I uncovered completely changed my understanding, not just of George W. Bush, but of the entire Bush family, and moreover, of America in the age of the Bushes, and I might say, in the age of Obama. My whole understanding as a long-time investigative journalist of how things even work was altered by the discoveries that I came upon in these years.
You make a lot of allegations in your book. I mean, you tie the Bush family to JFK's assassination, Watergate. You tie the Bush family to the Bin Laden family. Give me some details. You know, how powerful is the Bush family, and how far does it date back?
Well, the family is very, very powerful, and it's important to understand them not as a discrete entity, but basically as part of a larger sort of class system in this country. They come out of investment banking. Banking, as we know from some of the revelations of the recent economic collapse, is very powerful in this country in shaping our politics, and it has always been that way. One of the things that really became very clear to me in the course of this research was the extent to which we don't discuss how power really works in this country. People from other countries laugh and say to me, of course, why are you surprised that the democracy we see, the sort of vibrant kind of horse race that's covered ad nauseum by the mainstream media, is kind of a show in a sense. It's not to say it doesn't mean anything. It's not to say it doesn't exist. But there are other people who are, to some extent, pulling the strings. They tend to be the people who create the money that make all these political careers possible. And they are people upon whom we do not focus.
In your book, you also disclose that George H. Bush, Poppy, who you call in your book, he was involved with the CIA for much longer.
He had a secret life. He had a secret life, right.
What, can you elaborate
on
that?
Well, we know that we know he was president, we know he was vice president, and we know that he was a CIA director, but people just sort of take for granted that he was a CIA director, but I never do that. I know that you and I would probably not be appointed CIA director, and so I want to know why every CIA director was appointed. And they made a big deal about the fact that he was a civilian that had no background at all in that field, and he was brought in for sort of political reasons. But in fact, it didn't make any sense, because 1976, when Gerald Ford brought him in, was the height of scrutiny of the agency itself, of its proper role in a democracy. The Senate hearings were uncovering one impropriety and illegality after another, both domestically and all over the world. And so there was really a question of whether the CIA was even going to survive. Now, of course, at that very delicate moment, why would you choose a man like George H.W. Bush, no experience in this area. Also, the same sort of problems his son had, even articulating himself. And it just didn't make any sense. And I thought, well, there's got to be more to it. And this is how I work. And so Family of Secrets is one revelation after another, including that George H.W. Bush actually was experienced as a spy, that he had a background that he has kept secret to the present, involved in very deep covert operations, both abroad but also domestically, operations that actually affected our presidency when he was not president, various presidencies throughout the years, the Kennedy presidency, the Nixon presidency. What I did was I just followed and I connected the dots. What is the background of this man? Once I discovered evidence that 20-some years before he was CIA director, he had a little oil company, started with a CIA officer, and that their activities did not appear to be those of a credible oil company that really had almost very few clients and very little income, but of some sort of giant enterprise traveling all over the world where there was no oil, putting a rig right off of Cuba just prior to the Bay of Pigs invasion, and on and on. And so I began to see that there was another history of George W. Bush's father, of the CIA, of America in those years, and this began me to start questioning all kinds kinds of things. And I changed my view of the Kennedy assassination. I was not a Kennedy assassination theorist of any kind. I understood that Lee Harvey Oswald was believed to have done it, and that was the end of it for me. But once I started discovering things like how George H.W. Bush could not remember where he was on November 22, 1963, I said, boy, this guy's already such a mystery to me. I've got to keep looking. And boy, did I find things. Four chapters, all new material on that. Then I go forward toward Kennedy, toward Nixon, which you referenced. I now knew that H.W. Bush was involved with the CIA in all of these years, when he was a congressman, when he was an oilman, and so forth. And so I wondered, what was he doing when Richard Nixon was forced out of the White House? Because if you think about it, all of those things, in a sense, are a kind of a coup d'etat. With Kennedy, it was a coup d'etat, whether it was one person who was behind it or a lot of people. With Nixon, it was a coup d'etat because, in the end, there were all these forces, the Washington Post, various people in the U.S. Senate, all trying to push him out of office. Now, we all think he was pushed out of office because he was a bad guy. And I have to admit, that's what I thought all of these years. But once I began to cast aside all the conventional wisdom on this stuff and simply to dig open-minded, I began to find again the same constellation of CIA interests that I discovered around George H.W. Bush's appointment, around the Kennedy assassination. I also discovered it in terms of Nixon. And so I had to begin completely reevaluating even Richard Nixon, what he was doing as president and what interests he was threatening.
So ultimately, what were the powerful forces that put George H.W. Bush into the White House and subsequently his son?
For lack of another term, I'd say the oligarchy. I mean, you're basically looking at interests that, again, people in any other country would appreciate. Those who control the natural resource extraction, which is really what drives any country's economy. The control, obviously, oil has been number one, but there are all those other things that we need, the precious metals and the timber and on, that we extract from the developing world. Those interests are very, very powerful, and understandably so. The military is enormous in this country. There is no other country on earth that has a military budget anywhere close to this, and so this giant operation has to be fed. And of course, we seem to have wars all the time. They always stay in business. The CIA and the intelligence operations, these are vast. There are hundreds of thousands of people in top secret positions. What do? We have no idea. There's zero accountability. It's a democracy, I guess, but it's a curious democracy. It's a democracy where, you know, on the retail level, we all fight McCain or Obama or something, but then we start looking at their own administrations, and we see the same people coming in, the same bankers, the same military people. What I'm exploring is these permanent constellations of power that keep kind of hem Obama in. Why did Obama choose Robert Gates, who'd been CIA director for George H.W., Pentagon chief for W? He keeps him in the same position. Why does he bring in these same bankers who were all involved with the deregulation to fix things?
Why? And
well, the reason is because he's hemmed in, because the president of the United States may not do whatever they please. This is this sort of dirty secret, you might say, of the American democracy.
So you're saying the Bush dynasty, as you refer to the family, still has a good grip around this country?
Well, the Bush dynasty doesn't run things. The Bush dynasty are like Obama. They work for other people. Mm-hmm. This is what we don't talk about. Hey, we all work for other people, you know? Why wouldn't the president of the United States work for other people? The idea that suddenly, hey, we all have this beauty contest and this guy we never heard of a few years ago gets in and he's running the United States and basically much of the world and he's just going to do whatever he feels like, that's just a crazy notion. I mean, we really are awfully naive. We are. And the reason we're naive is because there's cognitive dissonance. We're very uncomfortable with the notion that we ought to be uncomfortable. We're so comfortable in our lives here in the United States, most of us. There's still a lot of poverty, but most of us live much better than people still in the rest of the world, and we're very comfortable. And we don't really want to bother our consciences that much, and so we give a little bit of money to this charity and that charity, and we support one candidate, and we curse another candidate, and that's the end of our involvement. But if all of us had to sit up and kind of take stock of the reality of that, our democracy doesn't really work very well.
Why is a 50-year history on a very powerful family, which no longer is in the White House physically,
right,
why is it relevant today? And why should Americans care right now?
Well, again, it's relevant because, first of all, many of the people they put in are still in. Not just Gates, there are dozens, scores, hundreds, thousands of people that they placed throughout the government that are still there. The people in the Pentagon are not accountable to us. Many of them were put in by them. Many of the policies were instituted by them. Jeb Bush is apparently already on his way to an eventual presidential bid. They're rewriting the history of George W. There's a nephew who's already entering politics. So both the family is still relevant, but more importantly, the things that they are involved in, the people who they serve, let's say the interests who they serve, are very much still running the show. And whether it's Barack Obama or the next person after him, if we don't start paying attention to the reality, to sort of wake up and splash some cold water on our faces, we're just going to keep living in this mess, and it's a mess that's growing. We're not addressing climate change. The way things are going, the scientists tell us there may be no life on Earth in less than 100 years. I don't know what could be bigger than that. Why does nothing get done about that? Well, you have to look at the corporate interests who block the will of the people, that is, that we want to fix this thing. Wall Street, the will of the people is we want to shake that up, we want to fix it, but nothing happens. Health insurance, the will of the people is they want health insurance, and boy, we can't seem to get it. Now, why is that? It's because the democracy is not really working. And the reason it's not really working is because of these interests that we don't talk about.
What does the Bush influence and what you've outlined in your book mean for America?
It means that there's the America that we assume, and then there's the real America. And it means that we don't really understand very much about what is going on in our own country and in our own lives. That this is very, very important. We need to wake up. We need to start paying attention.
On that note, Russ Baker, thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure.